I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got no way to go. Got to catch my sugar, my plantation sugar, my plantation sugar, my plantation sugar. Ah, plantain, plantain, plantain.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. I have a guest who I haven't spoke to in a while. It's my boy Dahmer. How you been, man?
I'm good, man. How about you?
Doing well. This is the Manchester United edition, excuse me. But, you know, we're just getting our bearings straight. Me and him not talked in a while, so it's nice to switch it up. You know, Tommy's at work, so I had to call up my boy Dahmer. So talk about...
Super sub time, baby.
Only gonna social out here, so, you know, appreciate you for making time.
Always happy to come on and talk about what we just watched.
Yeah. so let's put it in the context. Man United beat the worst team in the Premier League 4-2. I don't even know how to even start this because I'm just so annoyed at United. Like, yeah, they won, but it was such an annoying performance. You talk to me. Like, you watched all 90 minutes plus the extra time.
Yeah, and so full disclosure, I actually moved a meeting I had at 3 p.m.
Okay.
So I could watch this shit.
Well,
so I could watch what we just watched.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, man? Like, my overall thoughts, it wasn't the worst game we've played in by a far stretch of the imagination this season. Mm-hmm. Outside of two very obvious moments, it was pretty low key. There's an argument to be made that we probably should have actually won this game 4-1, if not 4-0.
Yeah.
It's the same stuff, man. It's been the same stuff for 10 months. And I think, frankly, the players are tired. The fans are tired. The coaches are tired. The leadership is tired. Everybody just needs that match 38, 90 minutes to blow, and R&R.
And the FA Cup. You can't forget the FA Cup.
God. We're going to get pasted.
Don't forget the FA Cup. I mean, this is a standing United victory, right? Like, there's nothing you really can take away from beating the worst team in the Premier League. I mean, they lost
Nor
today.
Nor should you.
Yeah, they lost today. They probably end up getting relegated on Saturday. So it's really not that big of a deal when you lose to, you know, when you beat Sheffield United. I think the thing is, seeing Jadon Boggle score, that was a nasty mistake from Onana. I was disappointed in him. He's actually done very well since, you know, Champions League. But that was a very nasty mistake from him, and I was kind of disappointed in him. But Maguire... Fair play to him. Harry Maguire has stepped up immensely on and off the pitch. He's been great for Willy Kambwala. He's been great on the pitch. So fair enough to Harry Maguire. Scored a goal, equalized it. Then obviously 5 minutes after halftime, the most United shit in the world, which is give up a goal to Ben Berenton Diaz, who is the wildest thing ever. He's a Chilean international from Stoke.
He is a walking football Twitter meme. And yeah, we let him go up on the big screen.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, in my first half notes here, I have written two things in caps. The first point is dumb S word. I'm not going to cuss because I know what might be going on YouTube. And the second thing that I wrote is why in the 6 yard box?
Yeah. Well, I had to bring up my notebook too, because I had some issues as well. And I literally wrote down minutes in the first half. The 18th minute, it was like a lot of sideways passive behavior. One thing I will say, Garnacho is a very good dribbler. He's not like a, you know, like he's a weird dribbler. He's a very good ball. He's a very good like ball progressor, and he's a lot of stamina. So Garnacho has a lot of like things that he needs to cut out of his game, but he's very young, so he's learning. But yeah, I mean, there was a point where, like, you know, they cut to Jason Wilcox and Dave Brailsford in the 18th minute, and they were just sick. They were just disgusted.
They had their heads bowed. They were like, they were doing that like pose that you see that your bosses do, and they're like, we gotta get this guy off the call right now. Somebody mute him right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Secondhand embarrassment, and you know what? They saw it, and we saw it. Right? I saw like some unconfirmed report that Dan Ashworth had told Ten Hag that if he doesn't start playing possession style, he's gone by the end of the year, yada, yada.
It was Jason Wilcox. Yeah.
Jason Wilcox. Yeah, yeah. And I know the Muppeteers kind of hinted at that in their last YouTube video as well, that there were some evaluations being made based on his play style.
Yeah.
And the first half felt like an overreaction to that.
Mm-hmm.
where it, and you know, I think part of it is also the fact that we saw Eriksen in the midfield for the first time from the beginning in a long time, which, look, he is on his last legs. He had a fantastic career. He will always be a streets don't forget kind of guy. But I think in a game like Sheffield, if you are going to play him, this was the game to play him. And I think the control and possession, and albeit very toothless, was down to the fact that they brought him back and had him with Mainu. I did write that I thought Mainu should have had a few more touches behind the attack, behind that final line. I felt like he didn't get enough touches, and when he did get the touches, he was didn't get a chance to make the passes that he wanted. We saw more of that in the second half, but I think that sideways possession, I will take that over the basketball game that we see all the time.
When it ended up being a basketball game anyway.
And that's, and we'll get to that in the second half, and we know why that happened, and we'll get to that substitution eventually. What did I also say? My first half. So, and I want to talk about Bruno for a second. I mean, the first half was, I mean, it wasn't, nobody played well in the first half. It was kind of aimless. You know, they were just spraying stuff. Casemiro is, he gets back there and he thinks he's Chris Paul. And he's like, you know what? Let me just watch this right foot. And he's just spraying long balls. And Bruno is clearly, he's not 100%. You know, clearly the guy walked out there with a cast on his hand. And say what you want about him, but he is, availability is the best ability. And he showed up, he played well, and we saw it in the second half. I do appreciate that they tried to keep it composed and they played like adults. And Onana said, no, we can't be adults. We're Manchester United.
This is what we do.
This is what we do. This is United.
We're gonna get everybody a heart attack because this is just what we do. I mean, the first half was bad. We're flat, couldn't create chances. Casemiro center back actually throughout the whole game impressed me. But yeah, again, it's Sheffield United. There's nothing you really can take away from playing the worst team in the league. Like, there are some stuff that you see, you're just like, cool. But this is what you're supposed to do. Like, Bruno scoring against Sheffield United. I think that one thing I will say, I'm not the biggest fan of Bruno from time to time, but one thing I do love about Bruno is the fact that, like, he's so chaotic, he's going to make something happen. Like, he scored a bang with his worst foot, with his left foot, with his weaker foot, right? So
yeah, and that was a fantastic goal. And, I mean, do you just want to move in the second half?
Let's move on to the second half.
All right, so the first point I have is cut back, written in all caps, and then again, written in all caps.
Okay.
I mean, like, the cutback thing, and, like, this has been the most common theme this entire season is us being unable to defend a very simple concept that you learn in U12s.
Yeah.
Which is you keep looking over your shoulder and you anticipate the cutback. And we have conceded so many goals on cutback that I've genuinely lost count.
I have a question for you. I was bringing the cutbacks. What do you think about Aaron Wan-Bissaka? I think that's time.
Look, role player, Champions League, away nights against a really good winger, bring him in to lock up the game, fine. But one thing that does concern me is his lack of concentration that we've seen in the last two games prior to this, which directly led to us either dropping points or having a massive heart attack. And that's a concern. We always knew that he was weak with the back post defending, but now we see that he's also losing discipline when it comes to his man-to-man defending as well. I mean, he went to the ground for absolutely no reason against Chelsea. And that's a concerning sign for me, because if you are going to be a squad player, which is, I think, his ceiling, you can't do that.
Yeah.
The reason squad players, great squad players, are the way they are is because they play mistake-free football and they do what they do very well and they don't try and play outside of themselves. And if he's going to start doing stuff like this, then I think it's time to start talking about recouping some of that $70 million.
All I just know is that it's just time to get rid of a lot of players in the squad. There's a lot of players today. I mean, obviously we won 4-2. I don't want to like be super negative, but you know, I'm very happy we won. 3 points is 3 points at the end of the day. Happy Rashford's going to score sheet. So happy that he's finally broke his duck. Great assist from Bruno to have that. But I will say one thing that I'm not a fan of is Anthony. Number one, he's very, very passive. Like that first half, that combination between Anthony and Aaron Wan-Bissaka, I haven't seen the worst right wing combo since Mike Pence and Donald Trump. Very, very bad.
You know what? I watched Mainu try to get involved in that combination of play like 3-4 times, and you can just see that on a footballing IQ level and the speed at which those three players process the game, Mainu is clearly two, three levels beyond both of them in the terms of the speed of which he thinks about the game and the speed of which he plays.
Yeah.
And you could see him being frustrated because he was like, no, I want you to do this. Like, you should do this. And they just can't get up to his wavelength and they can't combine with him because he just plays the game so far more advanced than anybody else does.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating, especially because he's 18 or 19 now, you know. Yeah. You are talking about two players who have played senior football for at least 4 years now.
And one who went to a World Cup.
A World Cup player and one who has been Premier League ready and played in the Premier League for, what, 6 years now?
Yeah.
2018, I think, was his debut. And now you have an 18-year-old saying, what are you guys doing?
Mm-hmm.
And that applies to a lot of the squad, but I think specifically that right-hand combination, just seeing the frustration in Mainoo's play,
yeah,
that he couldn't pull off what he wanted to pull off because the others around him weren't able to execute with him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to go. And my first point in the second half was that Ahmad, okay, like Diallo, there's a lot of people talking about he's like, hey, he should be starting. It should be Garnacho and Ahmad. Forget Rashford, which that's a point that we're not even going to entertain because that's foolishness. Mm-hmm. I don't think Diallo is ready to start yet.
No. Why? He has talent. Yeah.
He's very good. I think he should be first off the bench ahead of Anthony when mm-hmm. we have a full strength lineup. But I don't think he's ready to start. And I think today showed that he had all the opportunity in the world. They were sitting back. They were defending. They were letting him make his plays, and he did play well. He had the combination that led to the corner for Bruno's penalty,
mm-hmm.
Where he had a, I think he had a nice fake off to Wan-Bissaka, and he played it inside, and it was a shot deflected or something, and that was nice. You don't see Anthony doing that, but at the same time, physically, he isn't able to play. I don't think he can play for 90 minutes in the Premier League week in, week out.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's ever going to change.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that like I see with United is, I know a lot of people want a new striker, they want this and that. United need new players in the middle of the pitch. United's progression, the way to create chances, the way to hold the ball, the way they don't do all of that stuff is not good. You know, obviously there's a lot of young talented center midfielders throughout the world who United can get for cheap or, you know, whatever. Like, you can, there's a lot of talented players in the world, but United lack a proper, like, midfield structure. I feel, honestly, I've been everybody bar Bruno and Kobe in that midfield. Generally, I don't think there's a midfielder who survived that. Like, there is, you know, we saw Scott McTominay come on, and like, again, it turns a basketball game when they came on because Scott wants to be up front. And
immediately, that's why, like, Scott comes on, it becomes a basketball game. You know, like, it was immediate. And mm-hmm. like, we saw Ben Burton Diaz had that shot that Maguire was lucky that didn't roll into the back of the net.
Yes.
It would have been really unfortunate because, you know, Maguire, he's played fantastic over the last month.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been unfortunate, but I mean, it was immediate. I think it less than 5 minutes after Scott came on, it was 3v2, 2v1, 5v4. You know, and it's like that did not happen in the first half. And Sheffield isn't the one that changed.
No, no.
Sheffield didn't play any differently. It was a clear cause and effect as to why that's happening, right? And I think I lost faith with the manager, I'd say probably about 2.5 months ago now. I think after we got knocked out of UCL, I was willing to give him 2.5 to 3 months.
Yeah.
To say, okay, listen, man, now you have one game a week. You have these players on the training ground. You have a chance to impart your ideas. Every great manager over the last 12 years has had one season of nothing but Premier League football and domestic competitions. And then they've gone on to success. Klopp, Guardiola, Arteta's successes, we'll get to that later. But clearly
he's successful. He's successful.
The trophies are coming for them, but mm-hmm. he's able to impart a style of play. And all of those managers, they had the same thing. They had a season where it was out of European competitions. They're focused simply on FA Cup and the league.
Yeah.
I was ready to give Ten Hag 3 months after we got knocked out, and there's no change.
I'll give you one reason why I knew Ten Hag is not good, right? I said this on the weekend review last week, that the best managers get the best out of their best players. They put in the best positions for them to win, right?
Yep.
When you look at Oliver Glasner, what he's done in his short time at Crystal Palace is a madness. He knew that his two best players are Eze and Elise, right? So he puts a 3-4. He puts him in a formation where those two play off the striker. Mateta's not that guy, but he's turned Mateta into something else, right?
Yeah, I mean, now I'm hearing shouts about, oh, Mateta to Liverpool as a backup striker. And it's like, did we forget what we were talking, how we're talking about him in October?
Yeah, yeah.
And that, you're absolutely, you know what, like, and this comes back to both Bruno and Rashford, and to an extent, Hoyland, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so bad watching Hoyland run around for 90 minutes every single game. The kid busts his lungs every night, and he has maybe two chances at goal.
At best.
Every night. If he's lucky.
Yeah.
He got one tonight and he converted it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and good managers don't do that. Good managers recognize problems and mitigate them.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, let's talk about Glasner again. Like, you know, his first game in charge, he beat Burnley 3-0. Then he won his first away game, beating Liverpool's on an unbeaten streak at Anfield, 1-0 win. So it's just like, this is a really good manager who, in a short amount of time, you could see what he wants to build at Crystal Palace. They beat Newcastle 2-0 today, right?
Yeah, obviously lost it. I haven't seen the highlights, but from what I saw in like the just the statistics and like looking at the match flow, it looked like a pretty comfortable win for them as well. And Newcastle is not an easy win.
Yeah, I mean, look what they did to Crystal. Look what they did to West Ham over like last week. You know, they beat their ass. You know, a save aside from like the own goal and like the mistake from Dean Henderson, they did very well. You know, so they got Fulham, Crystal Palace. Dude, they have Fulham next, United, Wolves, and Aston Villa.
That's I'm worried about that game.
We'll talk about that too. But like the thing is, like I say, my point is Oliver Glasner's come in, immediately put in a system and was like, this is how I want my team to play. This is how I'm going to get the best out of my players. I look at Erik ten Hag, he's like, yo, you can't keep complaining about injuries, bro. Everybody's hurt. At the end of the season, everybody's getting hurt. It just is what it is.
Liverpool, you see Liverpool's lineup when we played them in the FA Cup? They had, they're bare.
Yeah.
As much as I, well, the last person to make excuses is Liverpool, but you know, injuries are everywhere. I mean, yeah. We may have more than most, but at the end of the day, you're still doing the same thing that wasn't working even when you had all your players.
I will say one of the things that made me very happy today was seeing Ethan Whitley, 250 Man United Academy graduates, which is impressive.
That's incredible.
I don't care how you slice it. I know a lot of people, when they look at academies, and this is something I wanted to like talk about and expand a little bit, because I was talking about a few weeks ago, I'm sure you probably saw my tweet about Real Madrid, how they have one of the best academies in the world. A lot of people were comparing to Barcelona and say, oh, well, they don't got no Lamine Yamal. Like, that's not the point of an academy.
No.
The point of academy is to literally develop pros. If they develop on your team, cool. If not, hey, man, the kid has a successful career. Look at United's academy kids all over the whole entire English football system. You got Tom Cleverley, who was announced as the head coach of
Watford today, right?
United Academy. Dean Henderson, United Academy. Welbeck's over there. So it's just like there's nothing but United Academy graduates. Angel Gomez is in France now. So it's like you're starting to see more and more of these kids. And this United U18 team is special. Like, we both know this. Like, you got your Shea Lacy's, you got your Harry Amasses.
And then obviously the Ethan Whitley's of the world, too, who scored the hat-trick against Liverpool.
Yeah, that kid is massive, too. I didn't know he was that much. He's bigger than Rasmus.
Yeah, he was standing next to Amrabat, and Amrabat looked like a child next to him. Yeah. And I was like, when that kid fills out, he's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And you know what? I appreciate that he gave the defender a bit of a shove in the back today when he didn't get to the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He pushed him down a little bit. He's like, no, I didn't do anything. I'm like, you know, I like that.
A little prick, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? It's good.
Bruno did well in the second half, though. I will have to go back and track back about that. Bruno did very well. So I'm very happy for him that, you know, he's got his goal. He got his assist. So can't be too mad about
two goals and an assist. I think in his last three games, he's put up numbers. I think he's up to... I saw this, I think it was 24 goals and assists for the year, which for a midfielder is ridiculous, especially a midfielder who isn't allowed to play his best position.
Yeah, this is down to the coaching. I got a couple questions for you. Let's talk about United's remaining schedule. So we got Burnley on Saturday, Crystal Palace after that, Arsenal, Newcastle, Brighton, and then City. That is a tough stretch to end the season.
That last four is terrifying. I mean... Look, I frankly, the only game that I feel comfortable saying that we'll get 3 points from is Burnley.
I don't feel comfortable in Crystal Palace or Brighton or Newcastle.
Or Arsenal, forget about it. Arsenal is going to be 97 minutes of absolute hell. As much as I hate to admit it, and as much as I don't enjoy that fan base a lot of the times, they play a suffocating style of football, man.
That's why I thought they were going to beat Bayern Munich, because I was just like, yo, they are ridiculously relentless. But, you know, sometimes they're young and you got to learn from that. But again, United just generally needs to figure out what they're doing this summer. And I'm not, and I think this is the first time I can say I'm not worried, because they finally got actual grown men and professionals in positions that, like, they've had experience building a team out before, you know? So I'm not really worried with that. I think my biggest concern is, are we going to get actual midfielders? Because I haven't seen a good United midfielder, like, in a while, in a very long time. Like, we've had,
before Kobe Mainoo, I think it might have been Michael Carrick.
Yeah, and Pogba. But, like, other than that, it's just like, we haven't had a good collection of midfielders, you know? Like, it's
we haven't had a solid midfield that you can say is world class since
maybe 2011, 2012. And even that's stretching
even
it?
Even then, even that's a stretch, man. I would maybe have to go back to the 08 Champions 09 League season.
And you know what's crazy? That was the year I graduated high school. That's fucking insane. That is absurd.
You know, I'm even older. I was in grade school.
Bro, 08, 09, I was applying for colleges, man. I was drinking Everclear. Bro, I was God. It was that bad. It's been that long.
It's been that long since we've seen competent midfielders, man. My goodness.
Yeah, it's been a...
I mean, look, how long you and I have been shouting it from the rooftops and in every single conversation we've ever had about this club that nothing changes until the stuff at the top changes.
Yeah, yeah, you know, sure.
When the infrastructure changes is when we'll start seeing results. Now, my only concern is that I don't think people realize how long of a process it is.
Mm-hmm. You got to be patient. You got to be very patient.
Like, I don't think we start seeing the results of the Ineos takeover and the impact of the infrastructure until the 26-27 season.
For sure, for sure. And... this is good that we actually have people that, like, have success. This is in charge now. I think that, like, you have someone like, you know, Dan Ashworth, who literally is, like, the person that did that, you know, rebuilt the whole entire English system. Well, one of the people, not say he did it by himself, obviously had a team. You got someone in Jason Wilcox. Again, I've said this last podcast. He was, you know, part of the Blackburn team that won the Premier League, and he's also part of the City Academy, which is one of the best in the world. So,
you know, part of that Blackburn team?
Yeah, the one in the world that won the Premier League.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Dave was part of that team.
The one with Sutton?
Yeah, Sutton and Sutton, what's it called? Alan Shearer. Yeah, man. When Alan Shearer scored 34 goals in all competitions, or 37.
With the lamest celebration of all time. Yeah.
Greatest celebration. I can never talk bad about Alan Shearer. 37 goals in all competitions, 34 in the league. They finished, first in the Premier League. And yeah, I remember that. I'm aging myself, obviously. I
don't remember that.
Graeme Lasso was there. Tim Sher was the
football
captain.
Sicko, that's why I know that.
Graeme Lasso was there. Tim Sher was the captain. Alan Shearer was there. Jason Wilcox, number 11. Shea Given was there. David Batty, I remember David Batty. Henning Berg, who also went to Man United. So Chris Sutton was
Belgian,
there. So.
Wasn't the Belgian defender there too?
There was not a Belgian defender there.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Newcastle. That's
Yeah. So
Albert Philippe. I'm thinking of Philippe, the Belgian defender, but never mind.
Yeah,
I'm a football sicko, man. That's why I know that. I was three.
Yeah. So Henning Berg joined United after 97, 2000. I'll never forget him. But yeah, man, I mean, like, it's nice to have general competent people coming into the club now. That's really nice. So I'm excited to see what they do. I feel like this season is just a wash at this point. Is that whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, I mean, look, for me, like, I'm half of a mindset to run the kids out, man.
At this point, like, I mean, you
like,
know.
Run, like, I mean, look, let's go to Arsenal. Let's send Amass. Let's send Wheatley. Fuck it. You know what? What do we have to lose besides our dignity, which I'm not even sure we have anymore.
We don't have any more dignity as a club. Not everything. As a club. When Sheffield United are beating you, you know, 2-1-0 at home, and
when
you just expect it.
Doing knee slides, you've lost dignity.
Yeah, when Coventry are up, Coventry is going to bang three goals, and even when you're three up, you just know it's all bad.
You know what? That game, I went to play golf. I was like, I am not watching this because I knew, and I saw the score on my phone. It was 3-0, and my fiance was like, oh, I must be happy. I'm like, just wait. I'm like, you wait. And then I saw the substitution, like, Mainoo off, McTominay on. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, now watch what happens.
Yeah. And no, but the thing is, McTominay started that game. I think it was more so because we put on Eriksen and Antony.
Yeah, I know Mainoo came off for somebody.
He came off for Eriksen. Yeah.
I saw that. I saw the substitution and I was like, okay, this is way too soon.
Yeah. It's bad.
Too much time. And I didn't watch that and I knew it was going to happen. And exactly that happened.
So
one funny point I want to bring up from this game that I was watching, and I at that point I closed my notebook and stopped taking notes. Casemiro was at right back overlapping, and I was like, I wrote in my notes, I was like, okay, man, and then I closed my notebook and I haven't written anything since then.
The crazy thing about it is United gets to these points in the game where there's no positions. Like, you see Casemiro bombing it up. I'm like, who's playing center back? Like, who's
I back saw there? Maguire standing back that I'm like, do they know that there's only one guy back right now? Like, it's 2-2.
And then I saw Dalot like inside. I'm like, yo, are you a left back? Are you a 10? Like, what are you like, doing?
Dalot made the best run out of any attacker today.
Yeah, it's absurd to see, like, they just don't care at this point. Everyone's just bombing forward and just doing whatever they feel like doing.
I saw Casemiro bombing down the right side, and I was like, okay, man, there's nothing to analyze here anymore.
I have a question for you before we head out. Sure. Who do you, as a manager, do you want to come in as United? That's who do you want, number one. Who do you realistically see coming in? So, two-part question, so, for you.
I mean, you know what, man? I think this is an interesting question because for the first time, there isn't an obvious wunderkind manager out there.
Yeah.
In a long time. You know, we got the one 2 years ago, and he turned out the way he turned out. There's the usual roundabout suspects that are on board. I think my wish list is Xabi Alonso. that's not going to happen. He's going to spend one more year at Bayer, and then he's going to Real Madrid as soon as Ancelotti's contract is up.
Mm-hmm.
It's preordained at this point. Yeah. I wouldn't mind a shot at Ruben Amorim.
Okay.
I do worry that could be another Jose 2.0 situation.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar temperament to manager and very similar, I wouldn't want to say similar styles because it's a big time difference between the two of them, but you can see the similarities in two of them, and I think there's a reason he's successful. I also wouldn't mind taking a look at Lopetegui.
Okay. That's a good shout.
I think he's one of those managers that he may not have the persona at a club like Man United, but I'd be interested to see what a coach like him could do under a board structure like the one that we're going to have.
Yeah.
I think when you talk about the board structure, that completely changes the profile of coach you want. Mm-hmm. Realistically, man, we're getting Thomas Tuchel.
I might not watch football ever again if I see Thomas Tuchel in the sideline. I'm disgusted.
Dude,
I'm disgusted, but I'll take De Zerbi. Fuck it. Why not? But my wish list is absurd, and I feel like anybody who hears is going to look at me like, yo, Tosin, you're a sick man.
Wait, let me guess. Can I guess?
Go for it.
Zidane.
No, not even close. Okay. I'm a real life sicko. Like, what you're gonna hear right now is some real sick behavior. Hold on. Let me get the guy's name first because he was at Salzburg first. So that's gonna be the first person that, like, what I say, you're gonna be like, yo, what is wrong with you? You're absolutely sick. So the first person I'm thinking about is Matthias Yassel, the German guy who's now at Al-Ahly. What's it called?
Yeah, he went from Salzburg. Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
I know you're talking about. Yeah.
36 years old. He was played at Hoffenheim, and then he coached Salzburg for 2 years. Yeah, I'm a sicko. I like him.
He coached that team that had Adeyemi on it, that was him, right, in the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
I thought so. The name sounds familiar.
Yep. I love Thiago Motta. I'm a big sucker for midfielders. I love Kieran McKenna. I love Michael Carrick. And also, lastly, it's going to be insane. I love Marcelo Gallardo. I know he's over in Saudi.
Beautiful.
I know he's in Saudi, but again, I'm very privileged. The job I used to have, I used to, you know, watch a lot of Argentinian league, and I watched a lot of River Plate when he was there, and, you know, when Enzo was there. And listen, they play some beautiful football.
Gallardo is one of those. I think he's going to be one of those what if coaches of, like, mm-hmm. him and Bielsa are two ones that were like, what if they got one of these big jobs? Like, mm-hmm. what would that look like? I think it's one of the biggest shames is that he never made the move over to Europe before going to Saudi.
Yeah. He waited too. They like, I don't know, man. I wish he didn't go. I'm sure he hasn't really had that many big jobs. I mean,
I think that's partly because of the control that he demands in terms of, like, and he's a radical coach, right? And I think the way that he demands his players to play and the kinds of players that he wants are the players that big clubs don't like to buy because they're not big enough names. And that's the reason why they work for him, right? Because he asked them to run
mm-hmm.
and serve the team.
I mean, right? At Bilbao when they beat our ass. So, you know, there is that.
Oh, God.
What about Thomas Frank? You have any opinion on Thomas Frank, or don't really care for Thomas Frank like that?
I wouldn't be opposed to it. I don't think he's shown enough in a structure that requires proactive football.
Fair enough.
And that's my only concern there, is that I think one of the requirements for a Man United manager should be that he's shown success in a proactive style of football. We can't have another reactionary style of play like we have right now, or we had under Mourinho, or we had another guy that came after him, or the guy before Mourinho.
Yeah.
You know, it was every coach that we brought in, I think, has not shown in their previous work outside of, you know, maybe Louis van Gaal, who's had a great career. I don't think they've shown that they can coach in the way that a club of Manchester United stature demands.
For sure. No, I get you. I get you. Listen, man, it's been a season and a half. I mean, we got what?
It ain't over yet.
We got how many more games does United have left? We have six more games. I can't wait to that day. The final whistle against City. I'm gonna be so happy. So, Dom, I want to thank you so much, man. Listen, it's been a journey. We won 4-2 today, so that's a good thing. 250.
3 points, 3 points, 3 points.
Yeah, and Liverpool lost, which makes me so happy.
I'm sure you guys will cover that on the recap pod, and there's going to be enough.
Eventually. Crystal Palace did a thing for us against Newcastle, so fair play to Crystal Palace, South London's finest. So
people's club.
It's a good day of hate watching, and Chelsea got that ass beat.
Great 2 weeks of hate watching.
Absolutely wonderful for us. I love that, you know. And United,
so good.
Yeah, we hate because we have nothing else to look forward to.
You know what? I've let the hate fill my heart now.
Yeah, it's pathetic, but it is what it is. But yeah, man, listen, I appreciate you so much for hopping on, making time, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Manchester United edition. I'm your host Tosin, my boy Dahmer. We're out. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got no way to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantain sugar. My plantain sugar. My plantain sugar.